Good. Good.
Good.
Great and good. Zidane is drained one, and that won't
that
go away.
That is true.
Till Zidane takes a nap. An 8-hour nap. But otherwise, hey, you have a simple golden key on, well, just say a weird string that was quasi ghost touch.
Well, Zidane, do you feel like you need to take a long sleep, or are you
okay with
pushing ahead?
No, we keep going.
Okay.
Do you want to look over that key? I can check for magic or anything, or
yeah, I'll pass the key over to Ev.
The key is not magical in any way.
Yeah, Ev just quickly. It's not magical. So Coyote door didn't open. I'm doubting if you approach it with that key, it's going to open, and I'm betting there's just more of a skull door somewhere that we have to open, besides the skull symbol.
Could be at some point there's a door with a keyhole.
In the skull, it's probably two giant doors, and there's going to be something terrible beyond it.
Of course. Should we go back to the jaguar door at this point? Because that was what we were going to do after we tested all four pressure plates.
I think so.
Do we think the jaguar door's open now, or do we think we need to stand on the correct combination of things here to unleash a jaguar on us that will then get us through jaguar doors?
I think the latter, kind of. Minus the unleash the jaguar part.
Yeah.
You don't think we're going to get attacked by a jaguar?
I mean, bring it.
You want to find out?
I'm inclined to first see if the skeleton key gets us through all doors.
One of these symbols is Oni or a demon or something. I mean,
we
stand
can
next
try
to the coyote door with the key.
We can try the coyote door.
Yeah,
is one of them bread. I am a little hungry. Maybe
yes,
we can
it
get
is
some
bread. You go to the coyote door. There's no obvious way to open it, just like all the other doors. No handle, no lock or anything. Mm-hmm. And bringing the key next to it doesn't seem to do anything.
Touch the key to the door just to be on the safe side.
Touching the key to the door doesn't do anything either.
Alright.
Do you want to see what happened when we press on the bread arrows?
I think Mom that's a
unless there's some sort of animate bread monster I'm not thinking about.
And it could be a sourdough slime, which, as I understand it, if they're not fed, get...
going to be dangerous.
Sourdough slime would be a great monster.
So bread will take three of us.
Okay, I'll go on one of them.
I'll go on one.
And Ev takes the last one.
All right.
Northwest, northeast, southeast.
You initiate the bread configuration. And nothing, you're unaware of anything happening.
It opens a bread door somewhere, is my guess.
Mm. It's probably more of a box.
Should we? I mean, we have two NPCs with us right now, right?
Yep.
And we can put the... So that's convenient because the jaguar door is only two symbols. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we do all of the reconfiguring that we will need to do to gain access to the jaguar door from where we are.
Okay.
And then we have two of our NPCs stand on the necessary pressure plates here for us to enter the jaguar door.
All right. You have Umaria and Cranton enter the jaguar configuration. And we'll return you back to the floor. With everything already figured out. So you can head back to the Jaguar door.
Good. Oh, yeah, because we would have to get the cow head and the skull. And
You have all of that sorted out.
Wonderful.
And is that door open now?
Yep.
Awesome. You
can see up into the door. There is a large, narrow room, almost hallway-esque. The at the northern end of where you enter into this room, there are two panels on the floor, both of them with a coyote head on them. I'll just put them there. Additionally, along the north and south walls are a total of 8 stone coyote heads with their mouths open, 4 on each side, along the length of this room.
I'm saying is the person with trap finding should be the first one to walk down the hallway. That's
carefully stepping out of the way.
I'm going to investigate the hallway for traps.
Okay.
I have rolled a perception check, and my result is 31.
You sure did. Very dry Pathfinder game. Initiate a check. The coyote heads that are on along the length of the room here to the east, that lead to the deer slash fan door, do appear to be trapped. They seem to look like they might try to bite you if you walk past them.
Turn into a coyote and then speak to them.
Coyote heads is traps.
Any idea? Can you see anything to disarm them?
I attempt to disarm the traps using my thievery skill.
What proficiency?
Oh no!
You have in thievery.
I am only trained.
Okay. You realize that you probably can't even disable whatever this is. It's all too right. Magical for your.
All right. No, it's magic.
Well, guess we'll die. No.
Do you think there's any other way to
these extreme
it?
Terms?
Well, we also ain't need to walk down this hallway. Got the 2 coyote pressure plate here, but walking down the hallway would just be if we wanted to get at this room from that other door.
Yeah. We're out of NPCs to, probably shouldn't say NPCs in my character voice. We're out of NPCs to put on pressure plates.
You aren't exactly. You have one last thing you can do. Technically, you can have Muvarin sit on the stop hand pressure plate and take the stone statue off of it. He's going to be meditating there anyway.
Oh. Okay, well, we can do that. And then we just have to leave one of us on a pressure plate.
I could do it this time.
No, I can stay for this one.
You sure?
Unless you think there'll be traps.
I sort of always think there will be traps.
Yeah. I can stay, it's all right.
Okay, thank you. I can't think of any other.
It's been nice knowing all of you.
Thing to do, honestly. Goodbye. Yeah. And then we split the party.
These things happen.
Ev takes out his spellbook.
Well, yeah. All right.
Turn so, to the coyote door.
You return to the coyote door. Now, just so you know, opening that jaguar door required 2 switch presses, but there's also the deer switch, which you haven't tried yet, so you don't know what that does yet.
Oh, where is the deer switch? I think I missed that.
It's back in the first room when you first ascend down into the second floor. And there's also an entire other stairwell that you can try to work with first before you commit to the coyote door, just so you know.
Oh, maybe we should do that. I don't know. What do you all think?
Open. I'll take a quick peek.
Okay. You take a quick peek into the coyote door room, where it's covered in just vines that seem to squirm and twitch occasionally.
I'm going to roll a nature check on my quick peek to scope out these upsetting vines.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 22.
22.
Imagine if we'd left the druid downstairs now.
22 is enough to tell you that what you're looking at is just a big mass of vines with a smaller hidden mass of assassin vines among them.
There are assassin vines in here.
Also, with your quick peek through, you see that at the southern end of this room, there's another door with a symbol on it. How do I describe the symbol? You guys have the mm-hmm. the handout with all the stuff. That third symbol or fourth symbol down on the left between the eagle
and the demon. The blanket pattern symbol.
Yeah, yep. It's a blanket pattern. Sure.
I mean, you've seen.
I've seen stuff like that. Yeah. I wish I could tell you, describe what it is.
I don't know what the proper name is, but
it's a nice geometric pattern that looks cool.
Okay, we'll call it geometric symbol.
Yeah. Geometric symbol. All right. That's on that door on the southern end.
All right. Ziadani returns from a quick peek and points at the geometric symbol on the carvings and says, there's a door with that one.
So, seems like there's some way to get into that room via the geometric symbol rather than committing with the coyote symbol, if you were so inclined. You just got to find a way to that other door.
All right, let's get Av back, and we'll check out this, the body.
The skeleton.
Yeah.
Okay, you eventually get Ev to come back, get everyone off the compass rose switches. And as you approach the skeleton, you see it turn its head toward you, Ziadani. And it then begins to speak. It says, you have entered the underworld, travelers. I am your guide, Karnaz. You may ask me a question, and I must tell you the truth.
Ah.
Karnaz is spelled with a Q. Q-U-A-R-N-O-Z. Fun little guy. Also, there's that deer switch right next to his skeleton body.
I feel slightly skeptical of Karnaz.
Why on earth would that be?
Is Karnaz as big as it looks on the map? Because it's taking up 4 squares on the map.
Sure. It's a big old large skeleton.
Okay. Hello. Any information?
Careful like... how you phrase what you're saying if you only get one question.
We only get one question?
Well, he didn't say, and we'd have to ask a question to ask him if we get one question. So just be careful how you phrase what you're going to say.
Well, now I don't want to say anything. I'm going to let someone smarter than me take this one.
Let's try the switch, maybe, and save our question for now. Mm. Pleasure.
Nice to meet you, Karnaz.
Yes, good to meet you. I'll stand on the deer switch.
The symbol upstairs had a deer and a fan, right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. We haven't found the fan yet.
Well, when you... Where are you? Yeah, you're probably too far away to hear if it would go off, so you'd have to have someone go confirm whether it did open or not.
We'll check.
You go check, and the door is open.
Oh.
It opened the door.
Seems like it might be that either the deer or the fan switch would open it.
Can we ask Karnaz to sit on the pressure plate?
Karnaz is a skeleton that can't move.
Can I pick up Karnaz and move it to this pressure plate?
Karnaz is, even though it's a big old skeleton, still weighs less than Saren.
Okay. That's a no from the GM.
We freed up our two NPCs. One of them can
stand. Oh, we did. Okay, yeah. Great.
Well, the deer switch just leads back into the coyote room with all the traps.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Oh, but it's on the other. It's at the far end of the hall where the all the coyote traps were going to try to bite you if you walk past them.
But did we need two people on pressure points for the coyote switches? Because this means if we put someone on the deer switch, we can.
No, because when you have Ev come back, the coyote door remains open because he left.
Oh, it does. On it. Oh, okay. In that case, it doesn't matter, I guess. So we can keep our NPCs. Does anyone have anything they want to ask our friendly skeleton guide? Or is it going to offer us help and we just go, okay, bye?
Not at the moment. I can't. We're going to have to come back into this room anyway because of that room, so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back and let you know.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Karnaz.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. We're concerned that if we ask you a question, we only get one question, so we're going to hold off on asking you any questions for the time being, but we will return.
Farewell.
Yeah, farewell.
Couldn't get any information Karnaz on that farewell, just farewell. All right, okay, back to the other place.
Meanwhile, Karnaz is just like, I hate talking to adventurers.
They're so paranoid.
I just want to have a conversation. I'm just offering information. No one will talk to
me because they think I'm a riddle. These adventurers
are the worst.
They always ask me if there's another one that sometimes lies. Okay. So, coyote door, do we want to go down the other stairwell?
Let's check out the other stairwell.
Where is the other stairwell? Above floor?
Yeah, yeah. Back upstairs, okay. We can go down the other side.
All right, you go up and over to the other stairwell. And enter a chamber with a... There's like a huge basin of water along the northern wall that kind of wraps around down to the east a bit, fed by a large stone head that looks like a large lizard, like a dragon or something. And there's a door to the south, and this door symbol has two symbols. One is a little totem symbol that you've seen before on the compass wall, and the other one will say it's like a geometric stylized version of like wind kind of blowing around. So two symbols on it. So we'll say totem and wind.
So it's two symbols on one door.
Yes. Much like the deer / fan.
Totem and wind.
And a moment after you enter, a body rises up out of the water.
Typical.
Tis a zombie.
All right.
You guys are very strong, though. You're all very strong, and you can cut down this level 1 zombie with ease. I am not going to bother to ask for initiative or anything like that. But you cut down the zombie, and about...
It just disrupts undead. Pop.
Sure. We'll say about 6 seconds after destroying that zombie, another zombie rises out of the water, and they just seem to continually appear after destroying them. Yeah, the room will never be without a zombie, it seems.
All right. Well.
Be gone, undead. Pop.
Let me check how many.
All right, I can do this for, till I need to sleep, but we should figure out what we're doing from here.
Yeah, the totem.
Be gone, undead.
The totem symbol requires 3 different directions.
Mm-hmm.
On that compass rose, so we'd need 3 people or 3 things to put on the symbol in order to open the door.
Maybe we go to the coyote door.
What'd you say, Luis?
You could always go get that statue back.
True.
From the coyote switch.
Or do you think that we should do the coyote door first?
I say we get the statue, bring it up, and then we do the coyote room.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
All right, so you're bringing the statue back down here?
Yeah.
All right, you bring it to the Compass Rose room. Now you have it.
And all how right. many NPCs do we have with us?
Two.
Amazing.
So what's in this coyote room? You said it was
the coyote room is now closed because there's no one on that switch.
It's got assassin vines in it, is what Jess said.
Yeah.
Oh.
Assassin vines, and there was the door at the end of the hall had the kind of geometric symbol.
Oh. Hmm.
I'm ready to hack at some vines.
Yeah. I mean, I have fireball ready.
We would have to take the statue back down.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, not necessarily. You can just send like Umaria to go up and stand on the coyote switch or something. You have three spare button pressers right now,
and
you
That's only true.
Need two to get back up into that panther or the jaguar door.
I'm all for taking care of the vines now.
Yeah.
All right.
I say let's do it.
All right. You sort that out. You get that sorted out and get that door opened back up.
We keep the statues up and ask them to go down together.
Okay.
Keep them together. Keep it safe.
Mm-hmm.
I will step into the room.
Ev, because he, you know, learned from a very traditionalist magic user, meaning his father, from the Mwangi Expanse, takes out his sulfur and Bakwan. New age mages might not need it for fireball, but he learned that way, and so he still casts it that way.
Love it.
There's a right way to cast fireball, and there's a wrong way to cast fireball.
Yeah. That's how my papa did it.
Yeah, not long after stepping into the room, some of the vines start squirming and moving about in an animated fashion, seeking to assassinate the people within. I guess we'll roll for initiative. Hey there, Luis here. It's me, your GM for Valiant. So this episode has a fun moment with Karnaz, which you just listened to, where the players, out of nowhere, I mean, I feel like I didn't hint anything in the slightest pointing at something like this, but they seemingly got it in their heads that what if Karnaz is the type of weird fantasy character that only answers one question for you? And you know what? I let them run with that assumption. So now I feel like I should just talk about assumptions in your games and assumptions on behalf of the players. Because sometimes they can lead to fun little moments like that. Karnaz mentions that you may ask him a question and he will tell you the truth. And didn't say anything else beyond that. I guess it's easy to jump to the conclusion that he may only be answering one question. But nothing of the sort was ever asked, and I think it was pretty fun that there was a little roleplay moment where they went back and forth deciding whether or not they would answer or ask Karnaz's question, and then ended up not asking him anything at all. A fun little moment. And I was not about to stop the players from following their assumption and deciding that was the case. We do get to speak with Karnaz again later, and they will learn that Karnaz answers as many questions as you ask him. That's fine. So it's fun. Let that kind of thing happen at your table sometimes. The assumptions of players sometimes leads to weird situations. I had a time way back in 4th edition D&D when my players came up to a cabin where there was supposed to be a wizard or something. I don't remember the exact nature of what they're going in there was, but they were at the front door and they're trying to figure out how to get in when everyone starts rolling to check for traps to see if the door is trapped in any way. They roll checks to try to bust down the door and everything keeps failing. Nothing keeps working out well. So eventually, after a while, one of the players asks, "Can I just turn the knob? Is it open?" And I let her know, "Yep, the door is unlocked. It's open." And they kind of just assumed it was trapped because that's the kind of game that D&D and Pathfinder tends to be. But, you know, it was a fun moment. I think it's a very memorable moment made for a fun story. And that player actually occasionally brings it up again about how that's her finest moment in gaming, is finally figuring out how to beat that door, because, you know, everyone else has jumped to the conclusion that there was traps or something going on with the door. And that's great. It can lead to situations where maybe things go on for too long with people working under the wrong assumptions. So, you know, you might have to eventually step in and be like, no, it just is X or Y or Z, and fix on that assumption. But another thing assumptions can do is actually inform the story or your plans for the story in the future. I've had times before where a thing will be presented and players will jump to the conclusion, oh, that must be because X, Y, or Z. You know, oh, the reason that the rain of blood happens is because of the weird connection with the cult and the death god or something. You know, someone will say something like that in play, and that's when you as a GM can decide, you know what, I like that better, or I'm going to use that instead. Because when the time comes around that you reveal exactly what's going on with the rain of blood and the death god and everything, the players will feel like they figured it out and they were so cool, and they can be none the wiser about you changing plans about stuff like that. But yeah, the theories that players have, the assumptions that they have, can definitely end up steering the story in interesting directions if you decide to follow that lead, follow that idea. So go for it. Another fun thing about assumptions is how much players will assume good, or that the people that they meet are on the up and up. They never got a chance to figure this out, but Karnaz actually always told lies. There's a moment when they'll speak with Karnaz again, and I guess he can listen for it, but Karnaz only ever told lies. So next time you hear Karnaz, just listen to what he's saying and assume the opposite of what he says is what's going on. But the players never assumed that Karnaz would be the type to lie, even though he straight up lied the first time that they met him when he said, "Answer me a question and I must answer it truthfully." That was a lie too. No one ever bothered to sense motive or you know, ask questions in such a way to maybe figure out that he was lying. But there you go. It can be good, it can be ill, it can be a great tool for you as a GM. Let players assume, but you know, don't be afraid to guide them away from their assumptions when it can lead to trouble. Anyway, there is a bunch of vines ready to attack and assassinate, if you will, and I think it's best we get back to it, so let's hear that guitar.
Bet these assassin vines would love some tasty, tasty fire damage.
Well, you're all going to have to wait a while till it's my turn.
Oh, I mean, I've got some fire too.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it looks like one of the assassin vines goes first. And
dang
then
it.
It's. Yep.
Uh-oh.
It beat the initiative by being a monster. But unfortunately, it is very slow, so it can't really move very far. It kind of creeps along toward everyone. Does it have reach? Yes, it has reach. So it's now within reach. It can grab Sarna if needed. But it doesn't do anything because it uses its three actions to move 5 feet every time.
Amazing.
Leading to Saren's turn.
I am going to go ahead and put up Inspire Courage, and then I am going to fling a throwing pistol, which are much more effective than when I shoot them, at the nearest assassin vine thing.
Okay.
Da, 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 da. And I will hit a 24.
24 is a hit.
Do 11 damage.
11 damage. All right. You batter this assassin vine, leading into Sarna's turn.
And everyone remember that we've got an Inspire Courage going.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to start by stepping, so I'm only in grabbing range of one assassin vine and not two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will blast it with some fire. And does Inspire Courage affect spell attack rolls?
It sure does.
Awesome. That's a nat one. So Midas, I've still got two essence points. So I'm going to burn one. And okay. So that is adds a plus one. 23
hits.
Awesome. That's 11 fire damage.
All right. Fire damage does seem to be effective.
Excellent. And so that is my turn.
So Danny, I'm going to give you a free nature check to recall knowledge because you probably know about assassin vines.
Okay, cool.
Being a druid and whatnot.
I have a 32.
Oh yeah, you definitely know. Normally they would catch you off guard if you moved too close to them, but you guys were well aware of them, so you don't have to worry about that. The assassin vine is weak to fire, but it's also weak to just getting cut up via slashing. So I'm sure you'll let people know that.
Yeah.
It's your turn. You have three actions.
These things burn real good, but they also, you can just cut them up too.
All right. Great news.
And with that, what do I want to do? I think I'll just electric arc. That's what I will do.
Okay.
A 22 reflex save.
22 reflex. They both fail.
12 electricity damage.
Nice job. Cool. The assassin vine that is right next to Sarna then decides to attack by Mac and Sarna with a vine. I think a 17 is going to miss.
Yeah.
And an 11 is definitely going to miss. yeah, that all misses. It's Ev's turn.
Great. Ev's going to carefully walk inside so he has a better lay of the room. And will, stay just inside the room behind Sarna and raises his hands as he presses the sulfur into the back guano and chants Mapiri Wamoto and tosses this like little small bead of guano and sulfur that starts rolling and burning, pushing it down the center of this long hallway. So it will explode, hitting both the assassin's vines, but not Sarna or himself.
The stinkiest attack known to man.
classic fireball. So that is a reflex basic DC 22, and I will roll my 66 fire damage. I have no benefits, and it's not. Yep. Okay. Oh, Well, okay. Two ones, but three sixes and a five. So I'll take it. 25.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
25. That's above average damage. So good job. So the first one critically failed and takes 50 damage. And is immediately burned away.
Awesome.
The second one did not critically fail, but it did fail and does take a bunch of damage. And is looking pretty bad.
Yeah, Ev just wipes his hands on the wall. One thing about casting that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, this assassin vine moves up to try to grab whatever's close by, which in this case would be Sarna. First attack. Oh boy, assassin vines. Who would have guessed that they're going to do very poorly? Being, yeah, I don't think an 18 hits Sarna.
Nope.
Nor does a 17. So it's Saren's turn.
I'm going to do the same thing. I will maintain the Inspire Courage, and I will fling a throwing pistol.
Mm-hmm.
21 to hit?
Yep.
14 damage.
14 damage. All right. Looks like there's not much assassin vine left, so it's up to Sarna, I feel.
All right. I am going to step and give it the old bastard sword.
Mm-hmm.
that's a 37 to hit.
That's a crit, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, let's see just how badly this thing gets destroyed.
Did you include the plus one from Saren's?
I did include the plus one from Inspire Courage. Okay, so that is 17 times 2 slashing damage.
All right.
They were very intimidated by our confidence. We went in here to kill some assassin vines, and they were like, oh god. And that's what we did.
You almost double crit it.
Oh man.
Amazing.
They're just like, they knew we were here. I don't know what to do now. What do we do now?
Yeah.
Flail! Exactly. Flail your vines, quick! Maybe they'll run away.
Oh, well done, team.
We'll say Ev has burned away what other dry vines and foliage was here. Exposing a switch in the room.
And I helped.
And you helped.
You had the really stinky attack.
Mm. Yeah, so there's a switch a bit further down the room, we'll say, with an image of a boar on it.
Ooh, a boar.
A boar.
And then we also have the geometric symbol door, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay. And that takes two people on the compass.
Yes.
Well, we can position one of the statue.
So the statue is currently opening this coyote door for everyone. I think it's upstairs on the coyote switch.
So.
I thought we had both NPCs do it.
Oh, yeah, no,
you had
both NPCs have...
together. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we have the statue downstairs, and then the NPCs can leave the switches for the Jaguar door because we don't need to recover the statue right now.
Correct.
And the NPCs can go instead of the Jaguar door onto the geometric symbol door.
Yes. Correct. Perfect.
Works.
All right.
You open that door up, and it leads south into a room. This room also has a bunch of vines growing along its edges. From what you can see, and when you enter, looks like Sarna's in here. The vines don't do anything, they're just dried up vines. But there are two doors in this room. Immediately upon entering to the east, there is a small door built into. Looks like it's kind of almost part of the wall. But there is the symbol of like the demon or the devil that you've seen. And then further on the far edge of the room, there is another door with the eagle symbol on it.
Is the eagle the third one down on the left column of the symbol?
Yes, it is.
Great.
Correct.
It's too bad we don't have cell phones, so we could just call the NPCs. Hey, can you move?
We could shout down the hall.
That's true. The only problem then is they'll trap us in here.
The thing is, the moment that they step off of the on the current configuration, yeah, they're going to close the geometric door.
We don't want to trap ourselves in here. So this is a conundrum. Mm.
Well, one of us can stand on it.
We don't have to go through... Well, we don't have to go through these doors yet. We could just open them up and take a look. Like, and someone else could go back and stand on the ones to open the eagle door, and you could take a look, and then after a minute, we could switch to the demon door. You could do the same thing, and then we'll reconvene and decide to do from there.
Yeah, just sort of peer in. And then we might want to try the other side, the totem.
Mm-hmm.
We never even peered in that one.
Right.
Yep, that works for me.
Agreed.
This was geometric. Geometric is 2. All right. We could just go back in and ask them to give us a couple minutes with each door open and then go back to opening up the geometric symbol.
Yeah, Zidani gives them instructions as to stand in this configuration for about a minute and then this configuration for about a minute and then go back to the geometric one.
Which door do you want to open first?
Uh-oh.
Demon or
eagle? The eagle.
Okay.
Demon? The less sinister door.
Sure.
The demon is behind the eagle door, and there's an eagle behind the demon door.
They both open to the same space, and there's a demon eagle.
You get everything arranged, you give them a minute before they start activating the eagle door, so you can run back and stuff. And prepare yourselves however you feel it would be necessary.
Eventually, with my sword.
I'm nicely in back. I'm good.
Eventually, the eagle door opens up. Let me describe this room, and also there's some creatures in here, so as to be aware of that. This is a large chamber that has there's a hall leading out to the north, one to the south. There's another door to the far east. I'll worry about the symbols and stuff about that. And there's probably other stuff in here as well. But the big thing that you know is that there are some sakils that look like gross, like four-armed insectile humanoids that have like grasshoppers for a head. Which is gross. I'm going to click this button to show you the picture, though it does give you the name. Yes, hello.
Can I just say for a moment that I really appreciate that you said insectile and not insectoid, which is not a word. I feel like you've listened to my rants and internalized them. And
I've never heard you mention anything about insectile or insectoid before.
Well, then you knew it in your heart.
I guess I did. Maybe you should tell everyone what this is, so then we can educate our listeners. Insectoid is not a word, then?
Insectoid is not a word. We have this in our style guide because, especially in Starfinder, it happens a lot that we'll get writing that says insectoid because that's kind of like a sci-fi sounding word. But there's already a real word for that, and it's insectile. Thank you for coming to my editor TED Talk.
I guess like the fact that there's humanoid means like, oh well, maybe there's insectoid
or yeah, animaloid exactly.
And stuff. Anyway, hey, I showed you the picture of this gross thing. Anyone who has Bestiary 3 can look on page 220 to see this wonderful art of this gross thing.
I do want to point out that when we say that it's got a grasshopper for a head, we don't mean it's got a grasshopper's head for a head. We mean there is an entire grasshopper sitting on its shoulders in the place of its head.
Yes, on top of its insectile body. It's very gross. There are two of them in here, and they are making their beats, or their wings are beating and creating a loud droning in here. And when they notice you, well, I think it's time for some initiative.
Yeah. Because
they're evil. They're not very nice insectile friends.
This has been a No Direction production. Valiant is an original homebrew campaign and is possible with the support of listeners like you. If you would like to support Valiant and the rest of the No Direction network, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/nodirection. Join us next time for the next episode of Valiant.